Hello, Lighthouse. Guess what today is? Heart of Purpose Sunday. We do this every year. And I look forward to doing this because that means that I get to preach about my second favorite Bible subject today. I love to preach on how to get to heaven, but I also love to preach on money, finances. I really enjoy that. Is that because I'm greedy? No, I'm not. I've become pretty generous over the years. It's because I love to see what God does in the lives of especially new believers. He does it for all of us, but I get such a kick out of watching God turn lives around in the financial life. You know, if things aren't going well financially, man, it's hard to get along. It's just tough. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It makes mama unhappy. And if mama's not happy, you got it. So the title today is Becoming Generous. I have a second title, otherwise known as Overcoming Our Stingy Streak. Now, what are you laughing about? You got one. We all have one of those, don't we? Well, yeah, this is the day that we as a church will obey the New Testament command of our Lord as laid out for us in 2 Corinthians, that every one of us will purpose in his heart what we're going to give the Lord this coming year. Once a year, we stop in either November or December, and we take inventory as to where we are in trusting the Lord's promises, and we make a decision. A personal choice as to what percentage of the income that God provides for us that we're going to give back to honor him this coming year. And that's talking about giving. We're talking about on top of the tithe, which is the first 10% that already belongs to God. We can't give a tithe. We can bring a tithe, but we can't give a tithe because that already belongs to God. Amen? Some of you have learned this and have been blessed incredibly because of it. So here it is, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And here's the command. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, in that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You know, I didn't put it in the notes, but that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. Do you know what that means? That means you have as much money as month. You're used to having too much month and not enough money. All sufficiency in all things means enough and to spare. When we got saved, our lives were changed forever. Inwardly, the Holy Spirit of God came to live within us, bringing new peace and new purpose. Outwardly, we were faced with all the New Testament commands of Christ. Although these commands, they are not grievous, they're not burdensome. But obeying these commands creates a far different environment than what we've been used to. Even something as simple as coming to church every Sunday requires a very different pattern than before. You used to spend your Sundays doing other things, but now you come to God's house to worship. One of the early on changes that we must all face is becoming a generous and cheerful giver. For some, this is very easy, depending on how you're raised and what you're already used to. For others, it's like asking you to become a nun or a monk or something like that. Now, I don't want to just come out and say it, but the truth is that some of us have a real stingy streak that we need to overcome. Now, you'd probably get mad at me if I just came out and said you were stingy. So, you know, instead of calling my wife short, now, she's vertically challenged. So instead of calling you stingy, I'm just going to say that you may be generosity challenged. Let's put it that way. You know, actually, if you look up the Greek word in verse number 6 that says, if you sow sparingly, the Greek word, and I put the definition up there on the board, the synonym for this word is stingily. It means stingy. Yeah, you know, it's. I'm here to tell you, and I'm living proof as well, that even if you are generosity challenged, you can overcome your stingy streak. You really can do it. I'm reasonably sure that all of us here would like to be generous givers. If for no other reason than being a generous giver requires that you have an abundance to give from. Anybody here don't want to be a generous giver? Anybody here would like to be a generous giver? Am I talking to myself here or? Okay, all right. So how about it? Would you like to become a generous giver? Yes. Would you? Yes. Okay, well, let's do this then. All right, we can do that. I can help you with this. I really can. I'm going to share with you some of the things, not nearly all, because we don't have time to share. The Bible is so filled with godly good advice about finances, I could never cover it all in a sermon. But I'm going to give you some of the key stuff that God has used over the years to really make a difference in me. I didn't start out a very generous person. I never knew what generosity was. Nobody had enough to be generous. So I just had to learn from scratch. And so I'm going to share with you what God taught me over the years that has really made a difference. The first one that I want to bring to your attention today is I want to invite you to recognize that every good thing that you now have came from God. Every good thing in your life. If you've got any money at all in the bank, it came from God's hand. You need to understand the source of true wealth. In teaching the Corinthian church to be generous givers, the Apostle Paul asked them this question in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He said, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" What do you have that you didn't receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Why do you act like that it was just yours and you didn't receive it? Do you have anything that you didn't receive from some other source? Where did you get that talent that you have? Where'd that come from? Where did you get that sharp mind that you do not use nearly often enough? Where'd that come from? We did not create ourselves. Psalm 100 and verse 3. Believe it or not, there are people that think that they came from themselves. They just, you know, just did it themselves. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Are we on the same page with that?
Yes.
It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. James 1 and 17 tells us that every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. For some, we achieve just a little bit of success, and we get to thinking that we did it. Boy, I did it, man. Power comes from me. Look what I can do. The Israelites had that problem. Let me read it to you from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. God was scolding them, and He said, "And thou shalt say in thine heart, My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." You don't have any talent that you didn't get from God. You don't have any skill with your finances. You don't have anything that you didn't get from God. Facts are simple. Everything good that we have came from God. Are we in agreement? And we owe Him honor. We owe honor to the one who gave us everything. Giving back a portion of what we have been given is how we do that. We're not going to get into it today, but in fact, everything that we have still belongs to God. We're just stewards. We are managers over what God has placed in our care. You still want to be a generous giver? Recognize that every good thing you have came from God, and then resolve to change. We need to be specific about this. First of all, giving is not an elective that you can do or not do for some like extra credit or something. Faithful tithing and giving, those are New Testament commands. Some New Testament commands were also Old Testament commands. Did you know that? Like the very first one. What was the very first command? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Lord is dead serious about our obedience. Have you ever thought about the fact that the commands to love and the commands to give are indivisibly connected? Think about that for a minute. The first command is to love. The Bible says that giving is the proof of our love. Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 24. Wherefore show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. He was telling them about their gathering of an offering to help the Jerusalem church, and he said that it is the proof of their love. Failing in this, it's called sin. 1 Corinthians 6, 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Those words are serious. They mean to be cursed to receive the judgment of Christ that is coming. To honor God with our finances entails tithing, which already belongs to him, a regular offering above the tithe, and unspecified offerings that the Lord may lead you to give from time to time. You may be thinking, I can't afford to do all that. Well, if you have seen God do all I've seen him do, you would know that you can't afford not to do all that. First of all, this is not difficult. Do you realize that God only asks us to give out of what he has already first given unto us? God's not asking you to give and then go out there and find it and figure it out and then come bring it back. He only asks you to give out of what he has already, first of all, put in your hands. Another aspect of making this change is to think of it as being reasonable. God wants us to be reasonable. You know what? Let me read you what's reasonable. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. Giving is a part of reasonable service. You remember Zacchaeus? What do you remember about Zacchaeus? He was vertically challenged, right? A little bitty fella. He might have been Desiree stand-up. That's probably about how high Zacchaeus, well, you can stay set. I'm just messing with you. He was a little short fella. He climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus coming because he couldn't see over the crowd. Well, let me read it here. When the rich sinner Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, met Jesus, he immediately became a giver. Immediately. Verse 8 of Luke 19, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man but false accusation, I restore him fourfold. First thing he did was become a giver. Did you know that every believer can tithe? People say, I can't tithe. Every believer can tithe, and every believer can give. As a matter of fact, the less you have the more urgent is the necessity that you learn to become a generous giver. Because if you don't, you're going to stay broke. I'm sorry, but that's the way the law falls when it comes to finances. You need to be reasonable and you need to be right. You need to do this for a righteous reason. With giving, that's a very easy decision. You do it because the Lord said do it. Every one of you choose what he's going to give unto the Lord. You do it because the Lord commands it, and you do it because you love him and you want to honor him. I believe that you do want to honor the Lord, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. I do. He deserves honor. What are you going to give God? He doesn't need your money. What can you give God he doesn't already have? Love and honor. That's it. And it's to be done, here's the terms, not grudgingly or of necessity, which means not because you have to and not because the church needs the money. And also not because you're going to gain from it, even though you will. Every believer does. Don't be afraid. Does a commitment to tithing and giving, or maybe increasing your offering, does that create fear? Apparently it does. Let me ask you a question. Just when has the Lord ever failed to do in your life exactly what he promised he would do? Has God ever failed to do what he said he would do? He's not going to make an exception, guys. It's not going to happen. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Just listen to this. This is the next words out of the mouth of the Spirit of God after he said that every one of us is to choose what he's going to give. Here's what he said. And God is able. Does that ring for you? Is he able?
Absolutely.
To make all grace abound toward you. Would God do that for you?
Yes.
He's done it for me, but I'm special. Do you think God would do something for me that he wouldn't do for you as well? Come on, God. We're talking about the Lord that died on the cross for whose sins?
Ours.
Mine and yours as well. No, I'm not special. I'm just messing with you. The Bible says that you can do this. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. For by grace are you saved. Now we know about saving grace, right? Okay, but God has saved me from my sin. Do you believe God saved you from your sin? Yes? Now that's one grace. This passage says that God is able to make all grace. Is God providing it for you financially? The grace of God? Yeah, it is. Everything you got came from him. Every good thing in your life came from him, whether it be material or not. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having... What's all sufficiency mean? Means enough and to spare in all things except finances. That's not what it says. In all things that you may abound to every good work. God wants you to be a generous giver. He wants you to help people. He wants you to support his work. He wants you to support missionaries. He would channel resources through you as much and as many as you will allow by your faithfulness to obey him. That's what God wants to do. You can do this, and there is no reason whatsoever to be afraid. Philippians 4:13, again, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Once you have made a decision, once you have decided, yes, I'm going to do what it takes, Lord, to become a generous giver, then you need to rethink your financial priorities. With this particular decision, only a few changes may be required. You're going to need to adjust the way you pay your bills. You do pay your bills, right? Okay. Just checking. When you receive income, your offering to the Lord should be the first thing that comes out of it. Now, why is that important? It's important because it's honor. Let me read it to you from Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That doesn't mean you pay the rent and you pay the phone bill and you buy groceries and you pay your credit card and Netflix and whatever else you got listed out there that month. And then what's left, you find an offering from God. That is not how you do it. Matter of fact, if you do it that way, you might as well not do it at all. I'm just being honest with you. Because you've already thrown honor in the trash can, and this ain't about money. Because God doesn't need our money. This is about honor. Honor the Lord with the substance and with the what? First fruits. The very first of all that God gives us. Tithing and giving is not about money. That makes giving God the first of it far more important than how much it is. Is this making any sense to you? I've told people this and have said, well, it doesn't make any difference which tenth it is. It's all, yes, it does. Makes all the difference in the world because it's about honor, not about money. Matter of fact, God thinks not all that highly about money, to be honest about it. But he's real big on honor. When reproving Israel over their failure to tithe and their unacceptable offerings to God, here's what he said to them in Malachi 1 and verse 6. He said, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. And they, you know what they said. They said, well, Lord, why did we fail? How? He said, in tithes and offerings. You've robbed God, is what he says. So you may need a change of attitude. Now, certainly you're not going to change your ways if you still don't believe God is challenging you to do this. Some still refuse to even believe in tithing. Now, I don't know how you'd be a Bible student and not believe in tithing, but study your Bible. Was tithing practiced before the law?
Yes.
Did Abraham bring tithes? Of course he did. Did Jacob? Yeah. Was it commanded in the law? Leviticus 27:30, there it is, and the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And it was commended in the New Testament by Jesus when he said, this is right, but you should have done more. When did the tithe ever stop belonging to God or ever stop being holy to the Lord? If you genuinely believed that tithing is not a New Testament command, even if you did, you could not possibly call something less honoring the Lord, could you? $20 tip in the offering plate when you're making $50, $70, $100, $150,000 a year, whatever it is. It doesn't hardly sound like honor, does it? You see, your problem is not scriptural interpretation. It's more likely that you are generosity challenged. Change means that you're going to need a plan. And God's word gives us a plan. We are to give proportionately. What's a tithe?
10%.
It's one-tenth. It's 10%. Giving, financial honoring of God, the example is set for us. It's to be done by proportion or by percentage. Means the same thing. We are commanded to give proportionally, that is by percentage, and we are commanded to choose what we will give. You don't know what God's going to give you next month. You can't commit yourself to say, okay, Lord, I am pledging to give you $1,000 next month. You might not make $1,000 next month. Well, especially with all this garbage going around in our economy, and Lord only knows what's going to happen now. That's not Bible. God does not require us to give except from what He has already placed in our hands. So how are you going to choose what you can give? The only way you can do that is a percentage, like the Bible teaches us, to give by proportion. First, you're going to determine, starting today, and now we're going to give you these little sheets here as we let you out the door today. If you don't take one, you can't leave, so, you know. But then we'd have to feed you, so I'm probably going to let you do what you want. You're going to, starting today, you're going to determine what percentage above the Lord's tithe that you're going to give. Let's say it's 5%, a number out of the sky. It might be more, it might be less, depending on your current level of faith. All right, you get your check or you get the notice of your direct deposit from your job, and you look at the gross pay. And then you, if you've chosen a gift of 5%, then you're going to multiply that gross pay by 0.15. That's a 10% tithe and a 5% offering, 0.15. You're going to write the check. Before you write any other bills, you're going to write that check. Or if you do online giving, however you do it, but do it first. Amen? Because what? It's about honor. And then you bring it on Sunday. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord. And sometimes it's more complicated. Not everybody gets a regular paycheck from some source or another. Because of direct deposit or auto pay or other considerations, some may need to give online, and you can do that. We have a means for you to do that. It's better if you give directly to the church and then bring it for obvious reasons. If you bring it, then you're here. And we got a lot of folks here this morning. It's a good crowd today. We've got new guests and new members and three brand new babies. Little tiny ones. Business people rarely know how much they actually make from week to week. Did you know that? People in business, you think, boy, they just got it. But no, they don't. They usually don't even know what they make. You may need a different plan. In our construction business, we know the percentage of profit that we have built into our bids. And if you're in business, I'm sure you know what the percentage you have built into yours. It's a margin. If you get it, let's say you get a deposit of $10,000 on a job, pretty good sized job, and your projected profit was 30%, and your tithe plus your chosen offering were, say, 20%, then the math is simple. Some of you already lost me. Some of you are saying, simple, the projected profit of $10,000 is $3,000, right? Is that easy? Yeah, it's easy. 20% of $3,000 is how much? $600. Write the check and bring it on Sunday. Real simple. When you do that, by the way, and this is for you who are in business, when you do that, not only does this give the Lord his first before anybody else gets their grubby little hands on it, it involves him in the business of making sure that the profit actually happens. I figured that out early on. Now, Lisa and I have been practicing this plan for decades. We've been practicing this plan for longer than some of you have been alive, several of you. And I've never to this day lost money on a job. Go try to find another contractor anywhere that can say that. You might have to look for a while. Once you've established your plan, you're going to need one, and then run with it. Set a start date and begin. Put your plan in motion. Do it well. And well means faithful. Your goal is not a dollar amount. We give our percentage as God has prospered us. The Lord makes us so easy. You don't need to do anything until the Lord first puts it in your hand. Now, someone once said, every great success is an accumulation of failures learned from. Have you learned from your failures? I know that some of you have decided at different points in the past to give this a try. And God did not bless because He already knew that you were not seriously committed. You cannot try this. You can only do it. You understand what I'm saying? If you're going to try it, God knows exactly when you're going to quit and give up because you didn't really believe it in the first place. That would be why God has given you a new opportunity today to start fresh with a new plan and a better understanding. Wouldn't you really, really, really like to become truly generous? For someone to be truly generous, you're going to have resources to give from. And where's that going to come from? It's going to come from the Lord. Is He just going to dump it in your lap so you have some? Nobody's faith is going to go from here to here. It's going to go from here to here to here to here to here to here. It's called growing. Paul told the church in Thessalonica, I praise God that your faith groweth exceedingly in the Lord. Some would say, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm on a fixed income. No, you're on a broke income that needs to be fixed. Even if God did not raise the level of income, even if He didn't, how much further could God and would God and will God make 90% go than you can make 100% go?
That's right. Amen.
You can't even imagine some of the things that we've seen God do with little or nothing. The McKee's air conditioner. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for keeping an air conditioner that long. That thing should have been worn out 7 or 8 years ago. How long did that thing last anyway?
20 years, I think.
That's crazy. Well, trust the Lord. He's going to keep His word whether you trust Him or not. Now, I'm asking you, as your pastor, to join with the rest of your brothers and sisters in Christ and fill out this card. It goes on your refrigerator, not here. It's for you. It's between you and the Lord. Fill it out, put it down, make a decision, and then set a date to start and act on it. If you say, well, that's all good, Pastor, but I'm just gonna skip that this time. You can't skip it. Because if you refuse to do it, you are choosing what you're going to give. It may be a zero until God changes your mind. But you're making a choice, even if your choice is thinking that you're making no choice at all. Why not trust God? Did He not save you as He promised? Did He not apply His grace as He promised? He says He's able to make all grace abound toward you. Why not trust Him with your finances as well? Those same finances that you would not have at all if God did not provide them for you. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Now, I want you to remember. Remember the word good measure. That's, you know what a measure is. Picture a bucket. It could be a little bucket or it could be a big bucket. What would you call a good measure? Big bucket, yeah. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And then run over. Shall men, where the paychecks come from. For with the same measure, whether it's a little bucket or big, for with the same measure that you meet withal, that you give it out, it shall be measured to you again with the same bucket. Only God will press it down, shake it together, and run it over. And the percentage of increase is mind-boggling when you actually see that done. Now, as I close, I'm going to remind you of some of the other benefits of becoming generous. Did you know that generous people have better marriages than stingy people? I've seen couples divorce over stinginess. Couldn't bring themselves to be generous. Love and generous giving are indivisibly connected, and they cannot be separated. People who love are people who give. Generous people have more friends. Man, if I was generous and had more friends, I don't know what I'd do with that. Generous people are happier people across the board. Okay, I've done all the damage I can do. I shared with you what the Lord laid on my heart. The rest is up to you. I'll have these cards for you at the door. Actually, we made them out of paper instead of cardstock, so it's cheaper. Okay. I thought you'd like that. But here's what it says. I hereby purpose in my heart that starting today, I will faithfully bring to God His tithe, the first tenth of all God gives me. Furthermore, as my offering I choose to give to the Lord above His tithe, I will give an additional blank percentage. It doesn't really matter what you choose as much as it does that you do. I started way years ago. I started with 2%. I didn't have a lot of faith, but I had read this in the scriptures, and I knew what God was telling me, so I started. And every year it kept going up and up and up and up and up. After I watched what God did, it was just the only thing to do. And then it's got a signature line. We don't ask you to turn these in. It's just for you to put on your refrigerator so you won't forget what you and God decided on. Some people say, well, I'll pray about it and ask God what He wants me to do. I want to caution you there. Very seldom do I ever tell you that this is not something to pray about. It's not. God commands that you choose what you shall give. Think about that for a minute. God doesn't want to choose this for you. He wants you to do it. This is an act of love. It's an act of honor to Him. This is up to you. Figure out where you are in your ability to choose. Figure out what you think is reasonable. Figure out a place to start. And then begin. You will never be sorry. Anybody in here testify that you'll never be sorry that you've done this? Yeah, there's hands all over the place. We know what God does when we obey Him.